In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. At the beginning of today's program, I just want to let you know once again that if you have any questions about anything you hear on the program, or if you have any questions about the Bible in general, or about the Christian faith and its teachings, you're always welcome to contact me. You can do that via email. My email address is gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. You can also go to the Gospel Talk blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, and you could leave a comment or a question there as well. And if you don't have internet access, I know there are still some people out there who don't, you can also contact me by the regular means, either by telephone or by snail mail, and that information will be available to you at the end of today's program. And on the Thursday program this week, I do hope to deal with some of the questions that I've been receiving from listeners. Well, this week on Gospel Talk, we're dealing with a passage from the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 6, verses 21 to 43. And I thought that today we would begin by reading that passage. "Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.' While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat." Well, yesterday when we began looking at this passage, we noted this synagogue ruler, Jairus, a covenant child, someone who had been raised among the Jews, someone who had been raised with the promises of God's covenant, who had received the sign and seal of God's covenant and circumcision. And he comes and he's got a desperate situation on his hands because his daughter is ill. And he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. And we saw yesterday that that's where he belonged. That's where all of God's people belong, is at the feet of Jesus. And then as he's traveling to this synagogue ruler's house, he meets this woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. And that flow of blood was something very serious because it meant that she was unclean. It meant that she was barred from fellowship with God and from fellowship with his people. Anything or anyone she came into contact with would also be unclean. But somehow she musters up the courage to be able to go up to Jesus and touch him, knowing that even by doing so, she was making him unclean. She was risking everything. She could be exposed as a lawbreaker, and she could be punished accordingly. But yet she goes up to Jesus, she touches his clothes, and she is immediately healed of her affliction. And then Jesus asks that question, who touched my clothes? And his disciples think that this is a strange question because there's all these people around him, and yet he's saying, who touched me? And then he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And he speaks to her in a gentle and compassionate way. He addresses her as daughter. This is the only place in the Bible where Jesus addresses a woman like this, daughter. It's a term of compassion and affection. It's a family word, a relational word. Yes, he is the Lord before whom all who love him fall at his feet. But we noted yesterday that he's also the one who said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. With this one word, daughter, beautiful word, he sets aside her fears and he turns her to himself to see his loving care for her, his compassion for her. And then he adds, your faith has healed you. Now, power went out from him to heal her. But you could say it was her faith that created a pathway for that power. Faith is the instrument by which we receive all the benefits of Christ. Now, the amazing thing in this story is that this woman's faith was so weak and so mixed with doubt and fear. She wasn't a woman of great faith, but one who struggled. And that's not always completely evident in our English translations, but in the Greek it very much is. You know, she debates within herself whether she's going to go up to Jesus and touch his cloak. She had this little mixed up doubting faith. Yet it was that faith, that little mixed up doubting faith, which Jesus says healed her. Friends, please take note of that. In Matthew 17:20, the Lord Jesus spoke about the power of a faith as small as a mustard seed. And he said that even that faith can move mountains. And when he said that, he made it clear that it's not about the size or the quantity of your faith. It's not about whether your faith is mixed with doubts, fears, anxieties, or even depression. Because we're all weak and we're all sinful. Faith is never 100%. According to Christ, it doesn't have to be. Faith should be growing, but in order to receive the benefits of Christ, it doesn't have to be this 110% strong, mature faith. Even a tiny, weak, struggling faith has access to all the benefits and blessings of Christ. And he tells that to us to awaken in us again a sense of wonderment, a sense of amazement that our salvation is really all of grace, that all the glory would go to God, that none of it would come to us, all to him. And Christ not only affirms her faith, he also gives her a benediction. Go in peace. In other words, you're whole again. You're not a lawbreaker. You have nothing to fear from the law of God. And to confirm that she was indeed permanently healed, he says that she was freed from her suffering. And he says this publicly. He says it out loud to everyone who can hear, so that all around can know it too. She's been freed by Christ from the stigma of being unclean. She's now free to worship God. She's free to commune with his people in the temple and the synagogue. Christ has restored her life to the way it's supposed to be, the way he works in all who believe in him. He's the one who restores life. He's the one who restores communion to the hopeless. You know, in our sin, all of us are hopelessly unclean. Unclean before God. Isaiah 64, verse 6 said it most pointedly, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Now, virtually all of our English translations today have sanitized that passage. They've sanitized Isaiah 64, verse 6, to make it more palatable, less offensive. And there's a connection between Isaiah 64, verse 6, and this woman with the menstrual disorder in Mark 5. Let me just say that the woman in Mark 5 would have had a lot of unclean, filthy rags. God views sinners apart from Christ in the same way that we regard such things as filthy and disgusting. And like our Bible translations, most of them have sanitized Isaiah 64, verse 6. So often we also sanitize our sin, and we domesticate it or rationalize it, making it more palatable, making it more acceptable. Think about it, friends. Why are we so little disgusted by sin? Why do we find it so difficult to hate it? I would suggest that it may be partly because we are too little impressed by the holiness of God. We often fail to recognize that the heinousness of sin, the seriousness of sin, lies in the greatness of the person sinned against. Lies in his majesty, his transcendence, his holiness. Consequently, we don't grasp, or perhaps we forget, the depth of what Jesus Christ did to redeem sinners. Listen. Left to ourselves, all we are like that unclean woman, barred from communion with the holy God. We are hopelessly unclean unless Christ washes us with his blood and makes us clean and gives us his benediction of peace. In order to hate sin and wage war against it and kill it in our lives, we need a clear picture of where God stands with respect to sin and what he's done about it in Jesus Christ. God gives us that picture here in Mark 5. Sin is disgustingly ugly and produces devastation. Jesus Christ gives hope and healing. And that's the gospel message, and I hope that's been an encouragement to you today, and I do hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. Till then, so long.
Thank you for joining us today on Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We hope this program has been a blessing for you. Our goal here is to preach nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The churches that support this program share that goal. One of those churches is the American Reformed Church in Linden. The Linden American Reformed Church gathers on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. We're located at 8868 Northwood Road in Linden. We'd love to have you join us. More information about the Linden American Reformed Church can be found at our website, www.lindenarc.org. That website again, www.lindenarc.org. You can also drop us a note in the mail if you'd like more information, or if you have questions, feel free to write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, Canada. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC. The postal code V2Z1B3. You can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Once again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Again, that's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray that the gospel of our Lord Jesus would continue to richly bless you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. And please make a note of tuning in tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. That's at 8:30 every weekday morning right here on KARI AM 550.